versus the Advocate Hospital, South Sabrina Hospital. Mr. DeRose.
Good morning, Your Honors. I do represent Ms. Brown and Ms. Wilson. We ask Your Honors to reverse the court, the trial court, with respect to this racial discrimination case. We thought, much circumstantial evidence and even direct evidence that showed that Ms. Brown and Ms. Wilson, although wonderful...
I thought your evidence was really feeble. So why don't you tell me, what is your strongest evidence of discrimination?
One, the petition that was signed by 12 of the 13 African-American nurses who were working the midnight shift. And two, what happened to Ms. Brown and Ms. Wilson when they complained of nurses sleeping on the job or they complained at the...
Well, what did happen to them?
Well, first of all, Ms. Brown was suspended, and then... once the Human Resources Department investigated that, and we have the investigator's notes from Ms. Gormack, she told the manager, oh, you can't do that to her. You can't.
Right, so nothing was done.
Well, Judge, there was something done.
What?
In that she was initially suspended.
Yeah, but what consequence for her? She lose money or what?
I don't know that she lost any money.
Right, she didn't lose anything. So what is? Can you have an adverse employment action with no harm?
Judge, there was harm because...
What was the harm?
The harm to her was that she was being unfairly disciplined.
No, that's... What was the discipline?
The discipline was they were ridiculing her.
That's not discipline. Ridiculing is not discipline.
Judge, when she tried to complain about this, she was not being listened to. She was initially told, you're being suspended. When they investigated, they found not only was that one nurse...
What happened to her?
Well, Judge, I suggest that when you're getting a cold shoulder from management...
A cold shoulder is not an adverse employment action. Otherwise, we're going to have like a million cases, right? So if a superior speaks angrily to you, that's an adverse employment action?
Judge, when you're wrongly accused.
Yeah, wrongly accused, but nothing happens.
Well, Judge,
superior says you're a lousy worker, and you go to his superior, and he says, no, you're okay, nothing will happen to you.
Your Honor,
that's the basis for a lawsuit?
Judge, it was a basis because it didn't happen at one phase. It happened to both wonderful nurses at every phase of their career. Every time they pointed out something that was wrong, they were the ones, being African-American, that the management focused on and left the wrongdoers undisciplined in any way. They were none of the wrongdoers, which we all agree occurred, ever got disciplined at all. And I suggest that a jury could decide that that was a racial discrimination of two wonderful nurses who put their patients ahead of management or even co-workers. I suggest not only were the four nurses found sleeping on the job, but when we get to Ms. Wilson, she complained of patient safety issues. Later on, after she was told she was nothing but a crybaby and a troublemaker and left the room bawling in tears, they convened the whole committee, and now they have a committee deciding that her criticisms about safety to patients were absolutely correct, and she can't get a job with them anymore. They have separated her from them. I suggest, Your Honor, that the harassment that these two ladies went through because of the fact they were African-American was, in fact, an unfair labor practice. It was a discipline of them. And we ask Your Honor, please, to reverse the grant of summary judgment and give us an opportunity to argue that there is a mosaic of circumstantial evidence and direct evidence by which a jury should be allowed to decide whether or not this was done to these people unfairly and because they were African-American employees. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. DeRose. Ms. Murdoch? Mr. Murdoch, sorry, you dropped the paper.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Grady Murdoch. I represent the defendant appellees. As a preparatory matter, the plaintiff's appellants have for the first time raised, without having raised it before the district court below, an allegation of discrimination under or retaliation under the Family Medical Leave Act. We respectfully requested that assertion be disregarded. We additionally request that inasmuch as the plaintiff's appellants have not appealed Judge Gettleman's grant of our motion to strike and the arguments made by the appellants rely upon such alleged facts, we request that they also be similarly disregarded. And finally, Mr. DeRose has just pointed to an argument that was not made before the district court, and that is unlawful harassment, which, again, was an argument never made before the court. But it's properly before the court, Your Honors. It is submitted as a grant of summary judgment to my clients with respect to two African-American nurses who claim discrimination under Title VII, racial discrimination, and racial discrimination under 42 U.S.C. Section 1981. With respect, and there are, just to clarify, both nurses began work at 9 East West at Advocate Christ Hospital and were there from 2005 to 2008. They both elected in September of 2008 to transfer to Advocate South Suburban. Their careers diverged. Ms. Wilson remained until in the emergency room department at Advocate South Suburban until she could no longer have patient contact, and beginning in January 2010. Thereafter, through the normal course of events, which she does not attack, her job guarantee terminated in January of 2011, and she found another job in February 2011. With respect to Ms. Brown, in December of 2008, transferred to 3 South, which is a telemetry unit, at Advocate South Suburban. She remained there through today, as far as I know, and our position is that she, as of the close of the record herein, we knew of no adverse employment consequences that she contended occurred. As we allege, with respect to their employments at Advocate Christ 9 East and West, we know of no cognizable discriminatory action which occurred with respect to their employments there. We do understand that and do agree that there were 2 of 12 individuals who signed a document dated May 10th, 2008, which parenthetically was fully, once received in July of 2008, was fully investigated and was fully addressed to the remaining African-American, or African-Black nurses, I should say, because they included nurses of African descent as well as Haitian descent, in October of 2008. The plaintiffs were gone by that time. The plaintiffs had begun their employment, and to the best of our knowledge, as Your Honor has aptly noted, there were no adverse employment consequences or adverse employment actions which occurred. There is no evidence of any retaliation, which is another claim that was made, and a primary claim which was made on the basis of either arguable, any arguable protected conduct, that being either the being having executed the document dated May 10, 2008, or having filed discrimination charges in May of 2009.
What about, try to understand this, suppose that their claim is that Black nurses were given more work to do than the Filipino.
And that was one of the claims that was made at 9 East West. First, plaintiffs advanced no evidence other than the contents of the petition. Second, our position is that that does not under the...
You say no evidence. They didn't give an affidavit? Or?
No, they gave a... I don't recall quite candidly, Your Honor, whether or not they did give an affidavit, but assuming arguendo, they did. Our position is that under the law of this circuit, that would not, unless aggravated or under extraordinary circumstances, constitute an adverse employment action. Second.
Were they deposed?
Yes, Your Honor. Second.
Did they give any particulars about this?
Not at all. There were conclusory particulars that were given. Further, the defendant's appellee submitted an uncontroverted affidavit which provided a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for differences in assignments with respect to acuity levels, with respect to the abilities of nurses to attend to particular matters, which was particularly important at 9 East West, which was a telemetry step-down unit. It is also important to note, just as a matter of record, that because those events occur between 2005 and 2008, any claim at all with respect to what occurred then must be subject to an allegation of Section 1981, since that was certainly more than 300 days prior to the filing of the May 2009 episodes. In sum, Your Honor, I apologize. Contrary to Mr. DeRose's articulations, the mosaic of evidence to which he refers relate to claims that were made with respect to the way that the plaintiffs objectively perceived that they were treated. None of the claims, from an objective standpoint or from any standpoint, have any racial component to them. What the allegations that are made are that I am an African-American nurse. I am complaining about the safety of what I can perceive to be conditions which are unsafe for my patients, and so therefore the inference must be made that the treatment that I perceive as being adverse is racially discriminatory. And to return to Your Honor's earlier question to Mr. DeRose, the assertions of which he makes with respect to the sleeping on the job referred to another African-American person who was an assistant clinical manager whose conduct came under question during the investigation, and who has she not left on a leave of absence and had she not failed to return from a leave of absence, was prepared to receive a performance deficiency notice, which would have been in the nature of discipline. And in the end, neither plaintiff was disciplined. Neither plaintiff suffered an adverse employment action. Neither plaintiff had, there's no evidence, despite the conclusory terms and the speculation made, there is no evidence that plaintiffs can sustain their burden with respect to either discrimination or retaliation under either Title VII or Section 1981. Your Honor, that concludes my remarks, unless any of the members of the panel have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Murdoch. Mr. DeRose, how much time does he have? Do you have anything further? 2 minutes.
Your Honor, Michelle Gormick's investigative notes is replete with references about racial issues, and then when we ask her in her deposition, what do you mean in your own handwriting, she couldn't remember what it meant. She had the note, but she didn't know who she got it from. We had not one but four different nurses tell Ms. Gormack that there were problems going on with management there. She doesn't put the word racial problems with it, but we know very well that other people there in the hospital who were working there were backing up our clients. And the reason why they were no longer at Christ Hospital, Ms. Brown and Ms. Wilson deliberately transferred, Your Honors, over to South Suburban because they were doing nothing. Management was doing nothing about the letter of protest and the petition. When they did nothing, they went over to South Suburban, and they're activist nurses. They speak up when things are wrong, and they took chances. While other people kept their mouth shut, they told them about the dangers to patients, about the unfair way in which the patients were being treated. And when Your Honor asked me, well, what was the harm? The harm was that management tried to terminate them and tried to discipline them. Maybe they didn't get it done because it was so unfair, it became obvious to everybody. These are two good workers who were standing up for what they believed was right. And then we know that Ms. Brown was eventually offered a position, and it was later withdrawn. And Ms. Wilson, as wonderful a nurse she was, she put in for 100 different positions, never even got so much as an interview. This is what we see going on in this particular case. And I ask Your Honor, please, give us the opportunity to show these facts to a jury and let them tell us if this was based on race or not, when the ladies are standing up like no one else would do it for the good of their community. Thank you, Judge.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. DeRose and Mr. Murdoch. And we'll move on to our next case.